All stand if you will. Let's go before him in prayer tonight. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, what a grand opportunity, Lord, it is to gather once again.
Yes, dear.
Lord, for all you've done for us, Lord, we have so much to praise you for, Lord. We have so much to thank you. Lord, we just appreciate all the blessings, Lord, you give us every day we rise out of bed, Lord. Lord, we know your grace and your mercy is with us. And Lord, as we gather here this night, Lord, we know that where two or three are gathered, you in the midst,
yes,
you will be.
Dear.
Lord, we appreciate that so very much. Lord, we just ask you to have your way. Everything that's said and done be for your glory and your honor. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
May be seated. I'd like to start out on page 256, I only believe.
Amen.
I have found the way.
Yes, thank you.
By his grace. Amen.
Amen.
I have found the way that leads to endless day, yonder in the glory. We found a way home. Amen. Hallelujah. Page 231, same book. Back a few. Amen. I want him to be happy with me, satisfied. Amen. With every decision I make. One glorious day, Jesus came and made me whole. He's so complete.
Satisfied with God's great redemption plan.
your desire. Amen. Fully satisfied with you.
Amen.
Amen. Page 360. Amen. The only way you can be satisfied is if his life is living through me. Amen. Greater is he that's in me.
Yes, amen.
Oh, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Satan's like a roaring lion, roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells us so. Many souls have been his prey, fall in some weak hour. God has promised us today his overcoming power. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. On the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind blew into the upper room and baptized all of them with the power greater than any earthly foe. I'm so glad I've got it too. I'll let the Lord know. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Amen. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in me. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. Lord, we give all praise and glory unto you this night, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, nothing we can do, only by your grace, through your mercy. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your wonderful name. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Give all praise and glory unto him. Amen. For he is the one that's doing the work. Amen. Praise his name. Brother Amos, would you take up the offering?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Nothing I can do. Amen. Only through him. Hallelujah.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for thy grace and thy mercy in our lives, Lord. We love and appreciate you. Thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for this opportunity once more you've given to us, Lord, to gather around your precious word with our brothers and sisters.
Yes.
It truly is a wonderful opportunity. We don't want to take one time for granted, Lord. Lord, we just ask it. As your word comes forth, may our hearts and minds be open, Lord, to receive what you have for us. Lord, may it find that good ground in our hearts. Lord, we just ask that you bless this offering once more. Lord, let it be used for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. We ask it in your precious holy name, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. It's the life behind the name.
Amen.
Makes the demons tremble. Amen. It's the life behind the name that makes the demons tremble. It's the life behind the name that makes the proud heart humble. It was God who devised the plan that in all things as a man he lives, we can give. It's the life behind the name. It's the life behind the name that makes the demons tremble. It's the life behind the name that makes the And Sister Gensel has been really sick. We ask you to keep her in her prayers. So keep her on your heart and your mind.
Amen.
Amen. As we ask Bill DeLong, you want to take your request?
Yes.
Amen.
Let us bow our heads for a little prayer. Precious, precious Lord, how wonderful you are. And it's just such a wonderful blessing to gather in here in this little place and to worship you and to sing these songs of joy and, Lord, of assurance and, Lord, of understanding of what you've given us. And it's so wonderful and precious, Lord. So we gather here now, Lord, for this portion of the service, that each one, as they raised their hand, and Lord, to signify they had a need, Lord, in their life. And only you know exactly what every need is. Lord, you know whether it's a physical need of maybe some kind of physical strength or healing needed, or some kind of a need for somebody else that we feel in our heart, Lord, that needs a touch from you, Lord, or maybe needs salvation. And Lord, whether it's some kind of any material need, whatever it may be, but Lord Jesus, we know this one thing, that you truly are the great provider of all these things. You're Jehovah Jireh, you're the great physician, and you are the great I Am, Lord. Yes. You are the truth, the light, and the way, and Father, we serve you, the living God, and so thankful that we can, by grace and mercy, Lord, as you prepared our hearts and our lives, Lord, to have confidence in you. And assurance comes forth in our life and in our hearts, that knowing that what we ask, that you'll give us the desire of our heart. Yes. And Father, I trust that's the way each one of us can stand before you tonight, knowing we've done everything you told us to do. We've kept every iota of the scripture, as the prophet said. And Lord, how that brings such confidence in our hearts. So Lord, all these things that we've heard, we want to put it to life and bring it to pass now, Lord, that what we ask for, you'll give us our heart's desire. So we believe that you'll do that now, Lord, and we greatly appreciate it. And Lord, we pray for Sister Gensel. We pray that you'll strengthen her and help her and touch her body, Lord, and Father, touch us all, O God, spiritually. Lord, open our understanding greater to the Word of God, that we'd be those people that you said you would have in this last day. Not something that impersonates and something trying to pretend, but something with reality. Yes. So we ask now that you'll touch us, Lord, and help each one of us now. And again, Lord, we can't forget about Brother Geisinger. We love him and appreciate him and trust you'll continue to strengthen him. And Lord, open the channels there and open the door that, oh God, that you can do what you want to do. So we pray now, thy will be done. As we wait on our brother to bring forth the word of God, bless him, make it easy for him, and encourage him, oh God. And Lord, let him know that there's people here pulling on the word of God. We want to know everything you want us to know in this hour. And Father, we want to catch every reality of it. So we appreciate it now. And may your will be done in the remainder of the service. Each one of us, Lord, again, commit ourselves unto thee. In your glorious, precious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We just sing a little chorus, Wonderful Jesus.
Amen.
Before we ask our brother to come, we'll sing that.
Yes,
amen.
Wonderful Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Bright morning star, lily of the valley, that's what you are.
Standing, let's just bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Lord, we are just so grateful for another yes. opportunity.
Amen.
And Lord, how our hearts burn within us, Lord, as we have an opportunity to gather in, Lord, and to feel your presence. And Lord, just to come and in simple faith, Lord, renew our hearts to your precious word. And
yes.
just in asking you, Lord, that in some little nugget along the way, Lord, that we'd find some meat, Lord, something to stabilize us and to help us grow just a little bit more. And Lord, to continue to mold us to your character. For Lord, we are so thankful for your precious word. And Lord, for the desire that burns within our hearts. And Lord, the draw that we feel, how great you are. And Lord, we just ask your blessings upon this word, Lord, that it would be to your glory and to your honor. And we'll never fail to give you the praise for it all. In the precious name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, he's so precious. Amen. Glad I could be here this evening.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. I'd rather be sitting back there, but every now and then, you know, our brother needs a little break. Amen. So we're going to turn over to the book of Luke. Amen. Just talk a little bit. Just a little exhortation this evening, but praying that some way we'll be able to take something from it that'll and strengthen us, maybe encourage us. God Amen. Knows everything.
Yes, he does.
Amen. Just coming down the road and I was thinking upon some of these things, and boy, it'd be a good little thought for this evening. Amen. And the Lord seemed to give me some stuff to go with it, and that's what we're going to bring.
Amen.
Amen. But here in Luke, the first chapter, let's start at the 26th verse. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. May the Lord bless you in his word. You may be seated.
Amen.
A little bit of a reading there, but just to think of that situation. But yes. would like to draw a little bit from that 35th verse, where the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee,
yes.
and the power of the Highest.
Amen.
Amen. Just to think about that just a little bit, the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Just to kind of dwell on that for a minute. But you know how that got Mary's attention. You know, the angel come to her with a message.
Yes.
But just, it's always striking how when God deals with a person's heart, how they respond.
Yes.
You know, she, as strange as that may have sounded at the time and as being a young girl, but there was something already about her that she's just, It was just a simple question. How can this be, seeing I know not a man? Not, oh, you're crazy, and oh, no, there's no way. No, just something simple, soft about her. How can it be? And oh, my, what an answer was given her. Amen. And how to see God bring it to pass. Amen. I'm going to turn back here to Exodus, if you'd like, with me, and read a little something here out of Exodus. Amen. The third chapter of the book of Exodus, if you would. Amen. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, amen, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. But I want you to think of that for a moment. There's Moses walking along, and God could have spoke right out to him. But he just lit a fire in that bush, and he waited for Moses to turn aside to see. Caught his attention, and he turned aside, and then God spoke to him. And I want you to think about that for a moment. Oftentimes, God places us in situations. Maybe we've come to service for many, many times. We've grew up in church. We walk, you know, maybe our parents brought us to church. And maybe we've heard many things. But all of a sudden, there's one time you might be sitting here and something comes forth that just catches your attention just a little bit more than before. And God's always watching. And when he sees that attitude turn, just a little bit. Oh, now he's got your attention. And watch God begin to speak to you. And I want you to think of that. Oh, when Moses, that happened, instant, look at the change that took over his life. And here, Brother Branham, this is in the message. I wrote it down here. Time-tested faith. This was preached in May 30th of 1958. And he's speaking about Moses. He said, oh, I'm sorry, I got the wrong paper there. This is in the it's the time-tested of faith, May 30th. He said, now it was Moses that was raised up out of all of the theology that Egypt could afford to give him. And he was so smart till he could teach the masters of Egypt some wisdom. And he knew that he was born to Hebrew, and he knew that he was born to deliver. But look what a mess he made out of it when he tried within himself. Before he had an experience, he had all of the schooling. He had all of the knowledge that he was the deliverer. But you see, he had never had an experience yet. But, oh, brother, when he met God there in that burning bush, he knowed what he was after then. He knowed who he had believed, and he could endure the rest of the 80 years of seeing him who is invisible. What a ridiculous sight. How faith meeting God will change a man. It'll make you do things that seem so crazy to the world. It'll make you act different, and you won't care what anybody says as long as you know that what you've been talking to. Moses running from Egypt 40 years out in the desert, but 5 minutes in the presence of that bush, and the next morning, here he goes down to Egypt, his wife setting a straddle of a mule with a youngin' on each hip, and him a man of 80 years old with a stick in his hand, whiskers blowing. Where are you going, Moses? I'm going down to Egypt, a one-man invasion. But what made the difference out of all of that? When he come in contact, and God knew, and he knew that God had spoke to him, a personal experience was something other than just be hearing and being told what you know. And you know, God still works in the same way. You know, if we turn over to John, I'm just going to read these scriptures and place them in our hearts. Amen. Many things. John 6. Amen. The Bible doesn't say Moses had a big shout and meeting there. It just said God spoke to him. God talked with him. It made a difference in him. It was, you know, and oftentimes in this day and age, people preach an experience as being something where you got a chill, where you run up and down the church. Or we've heard a lot of things. We've seen the last day Pentecost and how God moved and all that took place. And sometimes there's people want to put what they think an experience is. And we've heard our pastor talk of different ones that said they saw lights come to them and all these different things. but an experience when someone has had a genuine experience with Jesus Christ.
Yes,
it changes their life.
Amen.
It changes who they are.
Amen.
You go back through the Old Testament and you look at any place where God began to use someone, and you see the change that happened after God spoke to them. And they had that experience in their life. But here in John 6, Jesus speaking, amen, about that 43rd verse. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God.
Yes.
And every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me."
Amen.
And we'll go to John 14. Amen. Just think of that. No man can come to me unless the Father draws him.
Amen.
It takes a special draw.
Yes, it does.
Amen. That's not something, as our brother was speaking a couple services ago about inspiration. It's something that you know God has spoke to you.
Amen.
It can't tell you. You might do all kind. You might dance. You might jump. You might have all kinds of emotion. You just, everyone's different. We don't know what will happen. You might just sit and cry, but you will see a change in your life when God's been drawing you. You see here in 14 chapter, listen as Jesus speaking. He said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. And he may abide with you forever.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him." Think of that. He's going to give you the Spirit of truth.
Yes.
There's something that just resonates down in your heart. That, and it don't matter, before you even truly have the new birth, there is just something. God has a way of watching over his own.
Yes, he does.
And he guards and he protects it.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my, he says, "But ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you."
Amen.
And we drop down here. He says, "If a man love me, he will keep my words.
Mm-hmm.
And my Father will love him and will come unto him and make our abode with him.
Yes,
and he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's that sent me.
Mm-hmm.
These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you."
Yes.
And oh, what a joy that ought to bring into our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And we can begin to see that Spirit of truth, that is, it's, there's something within us that is longing for that truth.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want something that's just put on or make believe, but we can see into the meat of the word the results that should be in my life, and that's the hunger that's in me.
Amen.
That's what's driving me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as that hunger begins to pull, Satan's going to throw all kinds of obstacles up in our way. He's going to do all he can to block it, but my God is more than able to do what he said he would do.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as we go, he says here, he says, and Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, but give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid."
Amen.
And oh my, what a, as Jesus spoke these things, how that should just resonate in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
I won't leave you comfortless.
Amen.
And no man can come to me unless the Father draws him.
Mm-hmm.
And if a man loves me, he'll keep my commandments. And how we can see that God, it takes God to place that down in us. And how we can begin to see those results in our hearts and in our life. And how we see that drawing take place. And let's go over here to the book of Acts. Amen. Jesus speaking here to the disciples in the first chapter. And the seventh verse, we'll just start there. "And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put into his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the utmost parts of the earth."
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be a witness.
Amen.
Jesus told them that. We know the disciples entered into that upper room to tarry and to wait till they had been endued with power from on high.
Amen.
And you know, they went in that upper room not knowing what to expect, really.
Mm-hmm.
God just told them to wait. And they got up there, but here in the second chapter, as Peter began to say, "And when the day of the Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And we know how that, we'll go on, we'll just read it. And there was dwelling at Jerusalem devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed, marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all of these which speak Galileans? And how we hear every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born. And I'm going to drop down to the 14th verse. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be known this unto you, and hearken at my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And instantly you can begin to see that change that had taken over in Peter right there. The man that hid and denied the Lord. But yet something made a change in him. Brought a boldness to him. It brought a courage to his heart. And he began to stand up there and he began to speak. And I won't take the time to read all that he said there as he got down through there. But we'll jump over here to the 36th verse. And he said, therefore let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard that, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for this promise is unto you and to your children, and all of them that are far off, as many as the Lord God, our God shall call. Amen. And how God made sure that verse was right there, and by God's grace, I saw my name right there in that verse. Every one of us has got to see your name written right there. You got to place yourself in there with a reality that what he's done for us. And you know, Brother Branham said this, you know, is a lot of emphasis put on speaking in tongues there. Is that's what the first reaction came, and it lifted them up into that heavenly language. And Brother Branham explained all that beautifully. But this is in the message, questions and answers. January the 12th, 61, 524, 84 is the paragraph number. He said, I believe this now. I do not believe that speaking in tongues is any evidence of the Holy Ghost. It isn't. Because I've seen witches, wizards, snakes, and handlers, devils and everything speak in tongues. It is not an infallible act of God when you speak in tongues that you've got the Holy Ghost. But remember, the Holy Ghost does speak in tongues, and the devil can impersonate it. The evidence that you've got the Holy Ghost is the life that you live. By their fruits you shall know them. The fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is not nowhere in the Scripture found speaking in tongues. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, faith, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, patience. See, now that is the fruit. And that's what you find on the tree to tell what kind of a tree it is. Men are looking to you preachers and to you deacons and you trustees and you evangelists. You could speak in tongues out here on this street all day long and they'd never believe you. But you live what you're talking about and you show sweetness and all the roots of bitterness is out of you. And then men will realize there's something. Speaking in tongues, now I do believe this, that sometime or another that a spirit-filled person that lays under the altar of God will speak with tongues. But I've seen many speak with tongues that never know nothing about God, see. They know nothing about him at all. They all spoke with tongues and all these gifts can be impersonated. But the fruit of the Spirit proves what the Spirit is on the inside. You bear witness of the life of Jesus Christ because there's a peach tree sap in an apple tree. It'll bear peaches as sure as the world. Amen. Think of that, the change that the Holy Ghost will make in a person's life. Amen. Look how many people have been deceived into saying, I've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and their life had no change to it. Amen. And that's the reality we've got to see in this day, and how free that can make you in the Spirit. When you can truly see that life that this Bible said would project out through that person that's been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Amen. You can get that assurance that your name was in that 39th verse of the book of Acts. Amen. You can see that reality. What an assurance it brings. Oh my, you know, you may not have had a chill. You may not have jumped in the Spirit. You may not have run up and down the aisle. But only you and I can know what God has done in our heart. and the results we see taking place from what has happened. And you will know that there has been a change in your life. Look what you was, as Brother Branham put it. Look back at what you were. Look what your desires were, and look at what they are now. Oh my, it's a continually growing. It's growing, ever growing. Amen. Here in the message, this is in is the rising of the sun, preached in 65, April 18th, 1965, paragraph 196. Let me make sure I got 198. Look at a little seed planted in the ground. It has to drink from his fountain. The waters that pour down, it drinks and it pushes up towards him, coming more like the likeness of that seed that went into the ground, see? The church come that way through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and now into the blossom. The Spirit of God come through that. And the Spirit of the world come through the Antichrist the same way, now blossoming him out into a great union of churches, see the whole thing. And the individual comes that way. Everything works on the same scale of God, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Notice on your way, growing to the fullness of the resurrection, led by the Spirit. And as the S-U-N pulls that little plant that's drinking from God's fountain, just keep, see, it can only drink from one thing. You pour oil down on that little seed one time, it'll kill it, that's right. You pour stagnated water, old water that ain't no good, it's contaminated, it'll stunt the growth. It won't bear fruit, but you pour real good soft rainwater, hey man, no made-man chemicals in it. Just let it come from heavens above and watch that little plant. There is no water will grow that like that rainwater. Yes. You put chlorine and stuff in it like you try to dose up with, and the first thing you know, it kills the plant. And that's what's the matter today. They try to give them waters from the denominational fountain, and it stunts the growth, see. But let him come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright, as he sings the little chorus, shine all around me by day and night.
Yes.
Jesus, the light of the world. Absolutely. We'll walk in that light, oh, that beautiful light. Come where them dewdrops of mercy are bright.
Yes.
Just shine all around me. Take these man-made fountains away from me. No other fountain I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's all the fountain I want to know. Let the word dwell in me, Lord. Water it with thy Spirit. And notice now, if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the grave dwells in you, you potentially have life. Led by the Spirit to quicken that word to you, to believe it. And the little thing keeps pushing up, up as it grows.
Amen.
And oh, how we grow as calves of the stall.
Yes.
And how as we hear that word, we become that word.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Satan's going to get right in the way. He'll throw everything he can in your way, but that's overcoming power.
Yes.
The power that raised Jesus from the dead that dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body.
Amen.
And oh my, how that lying down inside of that little gene, it may stumble, it may fall. There may be a rock fall and try to crowd it down, but it don't matter.
Amen.
There's something inside of it that's bigger than it is, and it just keeps pushing and working its way out, and it shines forth so all the world can see.
Amen.
That it wasn't nothing that man could do, but it's what God has done in a human life.
Amen.
Amen. How great it is to look into James where it says, no man can tame the tongue. But oh my, the Holy Spirit tames it right down. It don't take no time. You let someone get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you watch that old tongue just, whoo, just goes away.
Yes,
oh, the Holy Ghost knows exactly what he's talking about.
Amen.
Amen. You know, sometimes with the simpleness of God's word, if we would just take it the way that it's written.
Amen.
You know, brother was speaking about that, how things have come in life and how it over and over, the same lie over and over begins to change and become truth. But God's word is in its simplicity. It doesn't need an interpreter. Just take it the way that it was written and let God to apply it to our life and watch it bring forth the reaction that's necessary and needed to bring that life to its fullness in us. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Let me jump over here. He says here, this is on paragraph 215. If that spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead dwells in you, oh hallelujah, it'll quicken your mortal body. It'll make you do things you didn't do before. They was full of the quickening power. Then your body ain't subject to sin no more, your desires. He said, come on out here. You say, shut your mouth. Oh, we got the biggest. Shut your mouth, mice. You're an eagle. Did you ever see how independent an old eagle walks? He don't hop like a vulture, see, to every dead and all the carrying laying on the ground. No, sir, he walks proud. Shut your mouth. Oh, here's a good dinner over here. not from Reese. My desire has changed. My appetite is different. For man shall not live on the world of carrion alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. A genuine quickened eagle lives by that. And oh, he raised Christ up from the grave. Oh, he that raised up Christ from the grave dwelling in you has quickened your mortal body unto his presence. You recognize it. You're no longer a scavenger. You're an eagle. You don't want the things of the world. You're a son, daughter of God. You're feasting at a fountain that the world knows nothing about. And how true that is for a genuine, spirit-filled person. They got something they're drinking from that no one else truly understands until they've got there and got them a drink themselves of that fountain. Oh, how precious it is. The world knows nothing about. You're eating a hitting manna that the world never even knowed nothing of it. For you're an eagle. You're quickened up here. You can't get to it. You can't get to it down here. You've got to get up here. You've got to be quickened. Lift it up there so it will quicken. And what did they do? They spoke in another language. The Bible said they did. Could you imagine? All at once they were quickened till the bravery of the lion of the tribe of Judah fell into them over the waving of the sheaf. Oh, that eagle come to call its own, and they love not their lives unto death. And the Son has got to be revealed again in a bride in the last day. The quickening power has got to come and quicken them out of these dead denominations and creeds to a living word of a living God. And that's what we're seeing take place in that heart of that little elected all over the face of the earth. That word is bringing them to that place where it's quickening them. It's taking them away from man's creeds and man's doctrines. It's quickening that life back to the word that is bringing forth that pure, unadulterated word, bringing forth the pureness of a bride for Jesus Christ. That's a result not of man-made theology or a man saying, I'm a part of that bride, I'm part of this, but their life is expressing back to a generation of people that Jesus Christ is living and on the throne of their heart. And when we hear the word that shows us how close it's going to be and what is being expected of that little bride in this last hour, it's not an overwhelming, oh, I don't know if I can make it. But for that little bride that's drinking from that fountain, there's something down inside of them that's working. Oh, Lord, I want to reach that goal, that height in you. It's forcing them. It's pushing them. It's never drowned out. Oh, that price is too great to pay. That's too much to give up. But there's something down on the inside that's what I was born for. It's pressing out of them. Hey, man, that eagle doesn't have to worry. He can just flap those big old wings and he begins to take off. And he may start down low, but oh, he just keeps going. With every flap, it's higher and higher. And oh, he can soar out. And how the presence of the living God, the power of the Holy Ghost in an individual's life will continue to take him to newer heights and newer heights and newer heights in Jesus Christ. Oh, there's no standing still, but it's a continually growing and moving daily with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And oh, what a joy it ought to bring in our hearts.
Yes.
Amen. Glory to his name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm going to turn back over here to Numbers, the 13th chapter. Amen. Might have got out a little bit of order, but we'll go ahead and hop back over here. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, we know we've got a land. We've been given a promise. Amen. And old Satan, he's doing all he can to try to discourage that. He's trying to stop each person from reaching what God's got for you in your life. And God will begin, you know, especially a young Christian, God will begin to work sometimes. He'll do all he can. Satan is trying all he can. But oh, if we'll just yield to the Holy Spirit, he'll bring us through every trial.
Amen.
So our brother was saying there's a power, the Holy Ghost. Oh, that overcoming power. God placed everything that was needed down in that little bride. But here is Caleb speaking to the people back in Israel. It's at the 25th verse of the book, 13th chapter. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron. And just a lot of things. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel and into the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. And brought back word unto them and all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Oh, think of it.
Yes,
amen. We've seen it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they told him and they said, we've came to the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey.
Amen.
And this is the fruit of it.
Yes.
Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we were well able to overcome it.
Amen.
Oh, look at somebody that had had an experience. They had been given a promise and they knew it was to them. And oh my, till you know for sure this promise is to you. Oh, it may not mean much, but let God once show you that that promise is yours. And you watch the results it'll put in you. You watch the change it'll come in your life and make you drive you to what God has got for you. Amen. Here in the book of, let's go to 1 John, I believe it is. The second chapter. You sisters can come to the instruments. Amen. 1 John. I didn't put a marker in it. Amen. First John 2, and we'll start there at the 20th verse. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and the no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He Antichrist denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. And he that acknowledges not the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things I have written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, it is the truth and no lie. Even as he hath taught it you, ye shall abide in him. And oh my, how we can see how God has showed us. As we sit under that anointing of the precious holy word. Yes. Under the anointing, yes, he uses men to speak, but it's God speaking back to that little bride. And with that anointing upon the word and in the right condition, how it just continues to bring and to mold and to grow that into the likeness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then here in Romans 8 chapter. Amen. And as Caleb was strong in his stance, Paul here in the 37th verse. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because, hey man, because he can do it.
Yes, he can.
Hey man, I feel like I missed a scripture. I thought, sure. Hey man. Hallelujah. But with God, all things are possible. Amen. I believe that's where, in the very first scripture I read, in Luke 1, I think that's where I missed that. I think I stopped just a hair short of that scripture. Is the angel was speaking to Mary. Amen. Let me just check here. Yeah. As the angel was speaking to Mary, he said, Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, saying, I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and is the 6th month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Amen. And how, when you can see that God is calling you, drawing you to this place, teaching you, guiding you, and you can see this word taking your life over. Oh, we may be growing. There may be many tests and trials that'll come. But oh, how we can see God will take us through us. And with each one, we become stronger. We have more endurance, more faith as it begins to build up. And how we can look back into those scriptures. And we're not relying on some past experience. We're not relying on somebody shaking my hand. Somebody something told me or something I seen take place. But I can go back and read those scriptures that said,
Amen.
What's the fruits of the Spirit? I can go back to Corinthians and look what Paul said. Though I have all of these things and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. We can take all of these scriptures together because of God sending a prophet in this last day. We can take all of that word and gel it together and see the results. As he said in harvest time, you'll get a clear understanding for the word for your day, and it will vindicate itself through you. We see all of these words begin to gel together to show us a picture. Not taking any of it away, putting more weight here or more weight there, but bringing it all together into our hearts and into our lives until God can make it the picture that it's to be, the molded image of his little bride in this last age. Oh, Lord, I want to be one of them. Whatever it takes, Lord, continue to lead me. Continue to guide me. It don't matter how big those giants may look. It don't look how I've seen the fruits of that land, and I know it's there. And by God's grace, there's a press in our heart. We ought to be pressing harder than we ever have. Lord, I don't know what I need to give up. I don't know. Maybe I need a refilling of the Holy Ghost. Maybe I need the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. Whatever it is, Lord, make sure, Lord, that it's burning in my heart. Amen. Don't let me get despondent. Don't let me be discouraged, Lord. Don't let me begin to get weary because I've been serving this you for so long. But, Lord, let it be fresher today than it was yesterday. Let that desire be burning greater today than it was yesterday, Lord, that I know I'm one step closer to that promised land. Amen. Just a few little words of exhortation. Something I pray just somewhere you can grab a nugget to stir your heart. Maybe cause us to grow greater. But oh, I'm so glad Jesus has set me free. Amen. If you'd like to stand with me as our brother comes, let's sing that little chorus. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Amen. Amen. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Well, Satan had me bound. Jesus set me free. Amen. Had me bound. Oh, Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Well, I'm so glad. Amen.
Set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free, and I'm on my way to heaven. Shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm shouting victory. I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm shouting victory. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus set me free, amen. Now think of that, the very same promise that when he told those disciples when left, go you to Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, and tarry there until you be endued with power on high. And he gives the same promise, the very same promise, if we do what he says, if we repent. As we've said many times, so many times people fail to do a true repentance, turning away from those past sins and asking God to forgive them and truly, sincerely, from the depths of their hearts, so sorrowful, as the prophet said, sorrowful for what they've done in the past. Make sure everything's cleaned up. Then, oh, what did you say? Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus assured us that if we do, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, and this promise is unto you and your children and to them that are far off, as he said a little bit ago, and to many as the Lord thy God shall call. I'm so thankful for that call on the inside, that desire pulling and drawing me. Amen. So don't get discouraged either if you, maybe the Lord has blessed you and filled you, and maybe you are still having a little bit of trouble. Don't forget what Brother Branham, not the precious brother, mentioned it, but just kind of bring a little more with it. The little sister asked Brother Branham, "Brother Branham, I do so many things wrong. I make so many mistakes. You know? Now think of that." And Brother Branham told the little sister, but he said, "What was your desire before? And what is your desire now?" Amen. Because as you receive the word, you'll become the word. Because now you're able to receive the word. That's the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, being able to receive the word for your day. And get a clear understanding of it. Before in the past, you couldn't get a clear understanding of it. But now you can get a clear understanding of it. And now it vindicates itself. Oh my, it's so good. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Well, I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. You glad? You really glad? You really happy? Wow. You serious? Well, we're happy people, ain't we? Amen. We're a happy people. Yes, we are. We're a happy people. Yes, we are. Been baptized in Jesus' name. Had a soul change when the Holy Ghost came. We're a happy people. Yes, we are. Oh, we're a happy people. Yes, we are. We're a happy people. I believe it. Amen. Thank God for that soul change. Glory to God. Let us bow our heads. Kind Heavenly Father, it's such a wonderful and tremendous blessing again now to have been able to sit under your precious word and, Father, by faith, through grace, see ourselves a part of that word, Lord. And, Lord, we could think back and think of those disciples as Jesus spoke to them and told them, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see." And he also told him, he said, "It's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom." My, what a wonderful blessing that is, to know that it's been given to you to know. And that is truly a great, tremendous work of grace and mercy, Lord. When, Father, we can look and see how your mercy and grace has truly rewrote our life and turned us around. But, Lord, we want to be completely what you want us to be. We want you to completely turn us around to exactly what you want us to be. That every action, every thought, everything about us, Lord, would be Jesus Christ. And truly be a people that would have the mind of Christ. Oh, God, just bless us now that the height of all these things would be reached in our life through your mercy and grace and through the revelation of your holy word. May thy will be done now. Bless us as we part from this little place and ask again that you just watch over us and guide us and have your preeminence, Lord. And Father, we ask a little special blessing tonight for Brother Paul and his family, Lord, and with what his mother's going through. And Lord, you know the situation there. May you just encourage him, Lord, and strengthen him and meet the needs, Lord, in their life. Just have your way there, Lord, and pray thy will be done in all things. And just lead us and guide us now. Bring us back safely, Lord, here if you should tarry. Come hungering to hear and receive the word of God. We ask in your holy name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, if you're happy, make sure you leave happy. Make sure you come back happy. And be happy in between. Amen. God bless you.